So you've done your net worth statement and all of a sudden you've realized you are officially a millionaire. You are worth $1 million or more. And now you have entered the elite status of being a millionaire. What's next? How do you protect that wealth and how do you make the most of it? Because you don't want to go backwards once you've hit that seven-figure milestone. Hey, my name is Jim Martin. I own and run a wealth management firm called Martin Wealth Solutions, and I'm excited to be with you on this journey today, this journey of retirement, this journey of life, this journey of wealth creation. And believe it or not, there are way more millionaires out in the world today than there's ever been, and there are many reasons for that. One of the biggest is the market. Let's face it, the market has provided enormous wealth creation over the last 10 or 15 years. In addition to that, the real estate market has absolutely exploded in people's houses that they were paying $200,000 for just a couple of years ago are now worth $400,000 or more. You bought a $500,000 house, maybe it's worth $750,000 or $800,000. And that wealth creation translates to your net worth statement in a big way. So we have a lot more millionaires out in the world today than we've ever had. So if you're in that elite group, we're going to talk all about that. But it makes me think about a client that came in. I've been working with this couple for a number of years, and they finally came in and they said, Jim, we've done it. We've become millionaires, but we don't feel very rich. Is this what it feels like to have $1 million? And I had to remind them that $1 million in 1970 is very different than $1 million in 2024. Think about that. When you were a kid, you probably had in your mind that $1 million was just this magical number out there. And if you ever hit that on net worth, boy, you'd be living their lifestyle, the rich and famous, flying private jets, having a mansion. And all of a sudden we fast forward to year 2024 and the world is in a very different place. Inflation is there. The markets have appreciated. And all of a sudden $1 million doesn't go quite as far today as it used to, but it's still an awful lot of money and it's a huge milestone. And I think you should be really proud if you've gotten there. And obviously, if you're worth $1 million and you're 60, it's very different from being worth $1 million and being 30. And the only difference really is the time horizon of those dollars and the fact that a 30-year-old with $1 million of net worth has a lot of wealth creation to happen over the next 10, 20, or even 30 years, while a 60-year-old is probably approaching retirement and thinking about how do I leverage this wealth to provide income for me and my family in retirement. So the first thing I want you to do, if you've just entered this kind of stratosphere of having a seven-figure net worth, is celebrate a little bit. Now, you don't have to announce this on Facebook, TikTok, or Instagram. I don't think that's a great idea. But what you can do is take you and your family out to a nice meal and just kind of reflect on your wealth journey. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to say I'm worth $1 million. I think that's awesome. I believe it warrants a celebration. And why not? We should celebrate the wins we have in our life. We shouldn't just sit on our hands and not think about it. But one of the questions we need to think about while we're celebrating it is what's next? What do we do beyond here? And what does it really mean? Like what? Cool. I'm worth $1 million. What does that even mean? And it means different things to different people. Again, if you're 30 years old, it might not mean a lot. It might say, okay, cool. Now what's next? If you're 60 and you're about ready to retire and most of your wealth is in an IRA or a 401k, it might be really cool because now you have a pretty large asset you can tap. And it's also worth pointing out that $1 million in a retirement account is very different than $1 million in cash. And $1 million in cash is very different than $1 million, let's say, in equity in your house. You know, the problem with home equity or home net worth is it counts on the balance sheet, but the challenge is, how do you tap that in retirement? How do you tap that for savings? Are you going to take a loan on that to realize it? Are you going to downsize your house? Or are you just going to have that sunk cost? Because the fact is, whether you're 30, 40, 50, 60, or 70, you still need a place to live. And if your money's stuck in your house, unless you plan on selling the house, it just counts on the statement. So again, understand that $1 million, depending upon where it's located, is very different. Now, one of the things I want you to think about is what's next. What are you going to do after this? Is really the $1 million the goal? And how does it work within your financial plan? I don't want you to let up. At this point, I want you to start thinking about what's next. Now, once we hit one goal, it's always good to set another goal. If the goal is always $1 million, maybe we set a goal for $1.5 million. And then we have to figure out, how do we get there? What do we need to save? How do we need to save it? In what account? How are taxes going to weigh into this? How will estate taxes weigh into it? And by the way, if you're worth $3, $4, $5 million, this all applies to you as well. Even if you're worth a lowly $500,000, it doesn't matter what your net worth is, my whole point. It doesn't matter if you're worth $10 or $10 million. We should be thinking about what's next. Now, the accumulation of wealth, increasing your net worth, might not even be important to you. If you're 65 years old, you might be on the trajectory where you're spending down your wealth, not worried about the accumulation of your wealth. So let's categorize this into two areas. Let's think about wealth creation. And wealth creation, we would call also accumulation. You're generally going to be in your accumulation stage of your life between, let's just say, graduating from college all the way up until 65 or whenever retirement is for you. And then you're going to be in this other stage of life. And we're going to call that decumulation or retirement, if you will. And it's different for different people, of course. At that point, we might not be as concerned about the wealth creation. We might be really focused on wealth preservation and income. So once we hit our milestones that we set, and whatever that milestone is for you, once you've set that, begin to think about what's next. What's next? If you're 65, how do we take that wealth and create lifetime income? How do we pay less in taxes in retirement? And if you're 40, how do we grow that number in such a way that when we get to the point of retirement, we're ready? And I do want to put context around seven-figure net worth. I know I did this in the beginning, but I do think it's worth noting that, you know, the world is in a different place today. $1 million today is not the same as it was when you were a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I think back to this, you know, I thought that, hey, if I ever made $100,000, I was going to be like crazy rich. If I ever got to $1 million in net worth, I probably had a private jet, a mansion, and a Lamborghini. And Lamborghinis were really cool when I was a kid. I don't know if they're cool anymore. I think like Teslas and Ferraris are cool cars today. But when I was a kid, I wanted a Lambo, I wanted the mansion, and I wanted the private jet, because I thought $1 million, that was it. That was the pinnacle of success. But today, fast forward, you know, 25 years, and $1 million just isn't the same anymore. It's still an incredible sum of money. It's a huge amount of money. It's a big deal. It's, again, it's worth celebrating, but it's not the same today as it was 25 years ago. But it still sort of has the same impact on people emotionally and mentally. It's that number. It's kind of that big round number, and it's kind of stuck in our psyche that it's there. So just understand contextually, it might not be enough for you. You know, if you're going to stop working and you're seeking financial freedom, you might need more than $1 million in today's dollars, because inflation is so much higher today than it was 20 years ago. I mean, think about what houses were selling. If we went back to 1980, houses were selling for, I don't know, like $20,000 was the starter house. And, you know, salaries back then were $15,000 to $20,000. So people would leverage 1 year of their income and essentially, or maybe even two, but somewhere close to that, and be able to buy a house. Now, today, you fast forward to 2024, you know, the average house is what, I don't know, $350,000. And, you know, if you're in Denver or you're in the Northeast or wherever you're at, it might even be even more. So depending upon where you live, that number could certainly go north of that $350,000. Well, the average income is not $350,000, right? The average income is maybe $70,000 or $50,000, which means people are having to leverage a lot more of their dollars in order to provide for housing things. So wealth creation, if you're in your 50s or 60s, so much of that has happened through incredible bull markets and a lot of real estate appreciation along the way. Again, if you're a Gen Zer or millennial, you're not going to have benefited from that as much as, say, a baby boomer has, or a Gen Xer. There's just a generational split on that wealth creation from that. Now, that doesn't mean in the next 10 or 15 years, you guys aren't going to see it. It just means that it's happened that way, at least over the last 30 years. So again, just remember, it's not the same today because everything's more expensive as it was 10, 20, or 30 years ago. With that said, what we want to do is we want to protect ourselves. So if you have $1 million, start to think about, how do I protect my wealth? I want to grow it, sure, but I also want to protect that wealth. I don't want to go back down to $100,000 worth of net worth. So how will you do that? Well, you want to make sure you have a will or a trust set up. That's really important for you and your family. You also want to make sure your investments are in the right location. So make sure you're not taking too much risk. If all of your money is in Tesla stock, and I'm not knocking Tesla, but that's a risky endeavor. If you have $1 million worth of Tesla stock, you might want to diversify that or talk to an advisor about having the right asset allocation model relative to your risk. You also might want to make sure you have the right amount of insurances. This is a miss that a lot of people miss. Their house values have appreciated, but they've probably not increased their homeowner's insurance, or their car values are much larger today than they were 20 or 30 years ago, but the state minimums maybe haven't kept up. So maybe you need to increase your car insurance. Maybe you need an umbrella policy in order to protect all of your assets together. Now, be careful. An insurance person will try to sell you every piece of insurance they have. So make sure you're not over-insuring, but do make sure that you protect yourself in the event that, boy, oh boy, if somebody figures out you have money, lawyers like that, right? Like, they might ultimately come after you. So you just have to be careful around that. So make sure you protect yourself there. Protect your investments, protect your nest eggs, make sure you have a will and a trust, all the basic stuff that we know we should. But it's kind of hard. It's kind of like, you know, I'm going to go out to eat tonight with my wife, and I'm going to try not to get dessert. But if they come up and say, Jim, we have bread pudding, I'm a sucker for bread pudding. I don't know why. I just love it. If they come up and say, we've got bread pudding, I won't be able to say no. I'm going to say yes. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard. These are hard things. I know I should say no. I know I shouldn't do it, but we say yes sometimes. So all of the things I listed, well, they're really easy to do, but you have to take action to do them. And sometimes the action is not super easy. So just make sure you protect yourself there. Other thing, look, if you're in debt, like all of a sudden your net worth is appreciated, you're in a great place, but boy, you're still dealing with nagging credit card debt or student loan debt. Well, we won't get into student loans because who knows if the government's going to pay those off or not. And that's a whole nother show. And I don't want to get political on this thing, but, you know, maybe you're not in a hurry to pay those off as much as you used to be, because, I mean, who knows? And then, but your mortgage, if you've got a high rate mortgage, you know, maybe you want to start to focus on paying off debt as opposed to growing the nest egg and growing the wealth. The growing the wealth is great, but, you know, we don't want to pay interest rate debt repayments at 10% when we're going to average, say, an 8% rate of return on our investments, if that's where you're hypothetically at. So if you're in debt, have a plan to get out of debt. The other things you can do, like, you can live how you want. I tend to think it's not great to show your wealth. You know, if you've got to drive like the nicest, newest Mercedes and have the best suits and the Rolex and everything else, I think it's great. But that's not really a great recipe for wealth creation. So ultimately, you get to spend your money however you want, whenever you want, wherever you want. But you certainly don't want to waste the money, have this perception that you're rich all of a sudden, and begin to spend down the wealth that you've taken so long to accumulate. Here's the last thing. Here's what I really encourage people to do who have hit this milestone, because it can kind of feel unfulfilling sometimes. I meet with people and they're like, Jim, I'm worth $1 million. And I don't feel rich. Like, I still feel like I'm worried about money. I'm concerned about money. It keeps me up at night. And I want you to dream big. I really want you to think about what's next. What's important to you? What are you trying to accomplish? And really, is money going to give you the happiness you thought? Because for a lot of people, you've been on this track where you wanted to hit this milestone, you hit it, And it kind of leaves an empty hole in you all of a sudden to say, that was it? That was all it was? I think about that a lot. Like if I go to an amusement park and I'm really looking forward to doing this ride or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden I do it, or I go see a movie that I've really been looking forward to and I check the movie out, and then all of a sudden I'm like, that was it? Like I really got that excited for this? What a letdown. Don't let it let you down. Start to think about what's next. We talked about that earlier. Dream big, dream. Think about what's next. Like, what's really going to provide you the happiness? What's this money going to ultimately do for you? You know, I always encourage people to think about in the context of a financial plan. And I'm a financial planner, so of course I'm going to think about that. But ultimately, I think, what does it really mean? What will this $1 million do for you? Again, if you're 30 years old, wow, huge deal, right? Like, if you're able to continue your wealth creation for the next 20 or 30 years, you might be worth $7 or $8 million by the time you're 60. If you're 60, you're thinking about, how do I leverage these dollars for retirement? And think about what retirement could be at that point, what that financial freedom number could be. So for different people, it means different things. The best thing you can do is pat yourself on the back. You did great. You hit a great and important milestone, and think about what's next, but make sure you protect that wealth along the way. Hey, I hope you found value in today's show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or concerns, and you want to connect, feel free to reach out. Until next time, remember, plan well and retire happy.
We appreciate you joining us today for this episode of the podcast. Opinions voiced in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. There is no assurance that any investment strategy will achieve its objectives. Information provided is not intended as tax or legal advice. You are encouraged to seek tax or legal advice from an independent professional. We are not affiliated with Social Security or any governmental agency. New River Financial Group, LLC, is a registered investment advisor offering advisory services in the state of Virginia and other jurisdictions where exempted. New River Financial Group, LLC, doing business as Martin Wealth Solutions. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. No investment strategy can guarantee a profit or protect against loss in periods of declining value.